Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
It just came out of a meeting. My guy just told my guys, we got to change how we recruit.
What do you mean, coach?
He says, we're so beat up, we haven't practiced yet this week. It's Wednesday.
With Derek Engler and UW Athletic Hall of Famer Tarek Salah, here's Alex Gravatt.
Wisconsin fans got one full game of action this week between the Packers and the Badgers. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Rose Bowl champions Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, and the godfather of Wisconsin sports, Barry Alvarez. Now, we were getting pretty hyped up right before the show started here, talking a little bit about the UNLV situation, and we'll get to Wisconsin football in a moment. I know that there's a lot to talk about as the Badgers fall, 38-21 to USC, but let's dive in a little bit to that. So the quarterback for UNLV gets the team started 3-0. Matthew Sluka, I believe, was his name. And now we're hearing that there are sports books offering to pay $100,000 for UNLV to keep the guy.
There are individuals have stepped up and offered to pay $100,000. That's what his guarantee was, or what he claims that he was promised. And I just read on the way down here that an individual said he would step up and pay it.
That is immaculate.
Where are we going? I mean, what, you know, if a kid, let's say he's going into the playoffs,
and the star running back for Alabama says, "Hey, you know what? I think I'm worth more than this."
Yeah.
The day before a game.
It's a runaway train. We've allowed things to get off the track and. You know, it's sad that college athletics has gotten to that. And we've allowed it to get to that because of weak leadership in the NC2A, or no leadership, no direction.
Absolutely. You know, and the real sad thing, right, is, you know, you have, I mean, Tarek, we were 19-20 once, you know. I mean,
yep.
In this environment, how are you really teaching and coaching these kids to survive in life? Because you're not. Because this is not how business is run. There is nowhere, anywhere, this is how business is run. So, I mean, unless you're in the mafia or something like that, I guess. I don't know.
The NCAA talks about institutional control or dereliction of duty, all these things. They wrote the book on that. They don't have any institutional control. They have a dereliction of duty. They have let everybody down. Nobody knows what's up or what's down, and it's just... It's an awful scenario when you got kids holding you hostage. And we're not saying kids shouldn't get compensated. We're just saying define the market and have some rules.
Some type of direction. And I don't know legally what the NC2A can do as far as and legally can you set prices? Can you do that? I don't know.
Model of free agency of the NFL,
yes,
type thing?
Yes.
Salary,
you know,
cap.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that should have been way done before. And yeah, granted, coming out of a pandemic and all this stuff and the big settlement with UCLA, I understand all that. But you should have had a plan. If it was going that way, people had been talking about it. Model the NFL, all right? I mean, have contracts. I mean, let's be real here.
But they don't even
There's
want
money
to be
being exchanged. A lot of these kids don't even know what the IRS is. Like, what? I mean,
you know, the sad thing. You're reading every day in the paper about players being paid, how much you're being paid. They're quitting the team because their promise wasn't fulfilled. You ever hear anybody talk about getting their degree?
Right.
No one even discusses a degree anymore.
They used to talk about it. I remember Keith Jackson would say, hey, he's a sociology major out of Alabama.
Well, we used to say, when you introduce the players, you'd say what their major was.
Yeah.
You know, and you talk about graduations and graduation rates and all those things. You don't even hear that anymore.
No. The media is they're the ones pushing this, and we're part of it. But, like, it's all or nothing now. The bowl game's not important. The rivalries aren't important. Do you make this playoff? And if you don't make it,
we were talking before we came on the show.
Everything else sucks.
Another legendary coach, and Coach Saban, obviously, said, you know, now you've got these kids that they're going to take a redshirt year, right, because their NIL money wasn't what they thought it would be. Are you kidding me?
They'll go back and renegotiate it.
Right. Yeah. Coach Saban's like, and he just literally held his hands up. That's why I got out of coaching.
Well, and Tarek, you mentioned just a moment ago that at this point it's college football playoff or it's bust. The bowl games don't matter nearly as much. But let's turn the spotlight on Wisconsin a little bit. Through two games, Badgers are 2-2, about what we would expect when they play two of the best teams in the country and then an FBS school and a MAC school, right?
Did not expect to be 2-2. I thought we would split USC Alabama.
You thought we would split USC Alabama.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Before the season, obviously, but things are not. The expectations were a lot higher than what the production we're seeing on the field. And you know, I know we're limited defensively up front, but you know what? The Badger D line played their asses off against that USC offensive front. They really did. Our second level didn't know where they were going. Our secondary, they fought. I mean, those are giraffes back there. I mean, those guys, literally. I mean, that is ridiculous. I mean, they did. They did what they could. But you can't have the miscues. Obviously, we talked about that in Bama. Again, USC. I being a former offensive lineman coach, knows this. Tarek knows this. I really, really think that if we would have came out and leveraged the lead, a double-digit lead going into the second half, and got after them up front, that USC front would have folded. And you keep hitting them in the mouth, as Coach did with us and many of his championship teams, they will fold. You leverage that lead. You know, our time of possession already at the half was 2-1. We need to gain that back, keep our defense, who is, as we know, limited off the field.
Yeah, and Coach, we always measured the seven areas, right? We had seven areas that we stats and those time of possessions, turnovers, you know, special teams, all these different things,
mental errors,
and we lost every segment of the seven areas.
Well,
and it was awful.
I really thought that first half, the coaches had a great plan. Coaches went in, the players executed the plan. But we have two plays that just blow us up, and we can't bounce back and overcome that adversity.
Yeah,
you know, you
you're on the field.
You get
for
a fourth and one, and you get the Rick bounce off a punt bounce off your chest when you're controlling the game, and you just held them to start the second half. You just hold them.
Yep.
With a three and out, you're going to get the ball again, and we're running the ball. I mean, we're moving the football. Now, we had control of that game, and we let it get away from us.
And when you're on the field, your defense is on the field that long, right, Coach? You just you wear down. And so those guys are going to exploit their advantages with being 6'5" and 6'4" at the respective receivers. And they just drove the ball down the field at will because we were just worn out.
That one kid, 6'6". You know, I forget who was covering him, but, I mean, he went up and grabbed that for a touchdown. I mean, they're just laws of physics there.
Physicality on that secondary space. All right, this is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. 844-770-3776 is your way in. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Derek Engler, Tarek Salah, and Barry Alvarez. We've got it in the poll, in the Twitter sphere. The poll question today is, before the season, how well did you expect the Badgers to do through these four games? 3-plus wins, 2-2, or 1 or fewer wins? Currently, 3-plus wins has 24% of the vote, 2-2 is 68%, and 1 or fewer has 8%. And the panel here unanimously agrees, it sounds like, that 3-1 was
the
expectation.
You threw that poll out right now?
I threw that out
before the show.
That's
Monday Night Quarterback. I mean, if you start the season, I guarantee that be flipped. On the 3-1, because there was a lot of expectation there you know, in Fickell's second year, Longo's second year, new offensive line coach, which we had heard plenty of reports about how the offensive line had really responded well to Blazek.
And they did.
Blazek,
yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know, so, and they have been. I've been watching them. You got to give them a chance. You got to give our backup quarterback a chance. Keep them in normal down and distance. You just have to. I mean, that's really, really important. I mean, we can't get cute and, you know, and I love Coach Longo, and I don't, you know, I know he had some unbelievable quarterbacks to run his offense. You're with a backup quarterback now. You got some big uglies up front. You got horses in the back. You know, old linemen like to get after it, put their hand in the dirt and tee off. Not on their heels, pass protecting. You know, I get it. That's old school. We got to have balance. Coach Longo knows that. He did it. We just didn't, you know, there's certain situations where I think we could have took advantage coming into that second half with that lead.
Absolutely. Coach, now the Badgers had a huge lead early on. It felt like everything was going their way. USC was able to bounce back, and you said the Badgers really weren't able to do that. Why don't you think they were able to bounce back from their couple mistakes early in the second half?
I don't know that. I'm not around. I don't know this team. I can just see the results. Southern Cal, they kept grinding, and they took one of our mistakes, and they rallied that, and they got the momentum back, and they didn't lose the momentum the rest of the game. Here we are. We have all the momentum. We're controlling the game, and we let it get away from us. And you know, you have to be hungry, and you have to be. And you're in a fight like that, and you have somebody down, man, you got to finish that deal. You got to put a neck or put your foot in that throat and finish that deal. We had them down. That game, we should have.
Oh, God. You're getting me
I'd
all
love
fired
to be
up
in a
now,
game
Coach.
Like,
jeez.
I'd love to coach a game like that.
Oh, man.
They may not see a pass in the second half. And that would be the shortest second half in Camp Randall history. And we had a lot of short ones. I'd run that clock. That game would be over. We'd be home having cocktails at 3:30.
And that's the thing. In the fourth quarter, if you pound them, sooner or later they just fold.
Because we're running a ball on them.
Yeah.
And we've got a nice lead.
Yeah.
Give them a chance.
Yeah. I mean, it's
give them a chance.
And it's a lot to put on your backup quarterback in the second year, right? So, you know, you got a little bit of experience last year, thank God, but, you know, that's tough.
And you got an excuse to go to the running game because you don't have your starting quarterback. So lean on your horses. You got four of them. Yeah. They all like to pound the rock. The kid from Verona, Aker, he can run the rock.
I like what the offensive line has done. I really do. I liked what they did against Alabama. I mean, they're protecting, but you got to let them eat. I mean, that's a different version of, you know, Zeke Elliott and doing the scoop, you know, for offensive linemen when they know that they can keep teeing off and punching the guy across them in the face versus vice versa, sitting and protecting. And I mean, that's a mindset. It's a whole different deal.
And our backs, we have backs that really run hard.
I agree, Coach.
They're good backs.
I agree. I completely agree.
Well, there's not just backs that run hard, but cars that run hard. And if you run your car hard, you're going to want to go to Janesville Kia, located right off Interstate 90. It's only minutes away from Madison. They treat people the way they'd like to be treated, and that's why they're up 78% over last year. See for yourself why people all over Wisconsin have experienced the difference of Janesville Kia and told their friends. Come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles with industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile warranties, and experience the difference of great customer service and what that can make for you at Janesville Kia. On the other side, I want to talk a little bit about the running back room and something that Luke Fickell said about a potential one running back situation. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. So she said, what's the problem, baby? What's the problem? A little bit of Metro Kia, Madison breaking news. The Milwaukee Brewers will be meeting the Mets back in Milwaukee tomorrow as the postseason bracket is all set up. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. I'm Alex Cravat alongside Rose Bowl champions Tarik Salah, Derek Engler, and former UW Athletic Director Coach Barry Alvarez. But before the break, I mentioned it. Coach Fickell mentioned that he might be wanting to go away with the running back by committee, which the Badgers have done for a long time, and have a clear-cut running back one and two. And that raises the question immediately for me, who's the running back one in this offense, Coach?
That's a good question.
Is a great question. I didn't hear that. That's the first time I heard that.
I hadn't heard that either. And there's obviously a reason he's doing that, a feeling as though, I used to like to say, we'll get him lathered up, get some back in there and give it to him 30, 40 times a game. In Ronnie's case, 50 times a game.
Right.
I'm sure he recognizes, and maybe with a little help from one of the backs, that they're not getting a rhythm. And so you want someone then that gets in a rhythm and then can make things happen. And so I'm sure that those were things that all came up. And
well, Chez has not.
He hasn't exploded onto the field the way we want it.
Right. So I'm assuming he's going with Walker.
So here's the breakdown really quick. Statistically speaking, Chez Malusi, 56 carries for 230 yards.
Cade Yacomelli. Per carry?
Do they have that there? I don't have that stat right here, but
I can do the math.
Around four and some change. Cade Yacomelli, 21 for 153.
Well, it's not him, but
averaging 7.3. I got it here now. 7.3 yards per carry for Cade Yacomelli and Tywee Walker.
Yeah,
38 for 147, 3.9. Chez Malusi has 4.1 yards per carry.
I don't know. Well, that one's hard to wrap my head around.
Flip.
Yeah,
they got bigger fish to fry, don't they?
I don't understand. Everybody's asking, what the hell is our identity on both sides of the ball? And then I don't even understand that. It doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't.
What doesn't make sense? Why?
We're not going to go by a running back by committee. What? I mean, we got a lot of other problems.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe it doesn't seem like it's going to move the needle. It just whatever. Get somebody who wants to run the ball, hold the ball up, and just freaking run the ball.
Establish something.
Coach,
establish something.
This begs the question to me, what does that do for down the road recruitment? If you've got one guy who gets all the carries, then forever the Badgers have been a kind of team where multiple people could come in and make a name for themselves, even in the same backfield. And now all of a sudden we have Coach saying that we're going to go down to Chez is going to get the workhorse. He's going to get he's going to be the bell cow.
So is this an oppressor or something that he announced this?
I've got it here. So I've seen multiple tweets, and Bucky's fifth quarter mentioned he wanted to do away with the running back by the committee. And said,
I always got to check the source on a statement like that.
Yeah,
because
that
surprises me.
So you're going to have someone that's going to carry twice as much as the other guy.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you just designate a one.
Right.
And he plays a little more, carries a little more than the other guy. And if the other guy gets hot, you leave him in there.
Yeah. Then, the best guy's going to play. You know what? You're going to give him, you're going to feed him. And if he keeps going, great. If not.
And I'm okay talking about this, but, short yardage and goal line and get a yard to go, half a yard to go. And being in shotgun here at University of Wisconsin is going to be challenging. I mean, we do not have the quarterbacks that Alabama has that's in shotgun where that opens up all kinds of threats on short yardage, right?
Now, so, you're talking about short yardage situation.
Yeah.
This past weekend when the Badgers went for it on fourth and one again from the
half
shotgun.
Yard.
Fourth and half a yard. Yeah. We've got a quick call from the CBS anchors for our very own Barry Alvarez. What's his name on the call?
Brad Nessler.
Brad Nessler on the call.
You are young, G-Man.
There might be a guy in Naples that questions this call. An old coach.
The Hall of Fame coach. Just handed Gary my phone. We have a call and a text from Barry Alvarez.
That's not right. I'm telling you, that's not right.
Like he thought I was going to pick up. Sorry, Coach.
I did not call.
You might not be the only
text.
Wisconsin fan that did
What
not
did
that,
that text say, Coach?
You are exactly correct. You are correct, my friend.
Yes, Coach, upset with the decision to go from fourth and one or fourth and a half yard from the shotgun, and it just doesn't feel like the Badgers have the speed to get there in time when they have the power to just move it.
It's not the guy in Alabama. It's our backup quarterback. He's not a very good runner to begin with. So, you know, what are we doing? I have no problem talking about this because I've had this conversation with Coach Longo many times, and he knows where I stand. But I know I'm old school. He knows where I come from, and he runs a completely different offense. You know, Michigan, and there's other teams that do this too, Michigan knows the big uglies in the offensive line, typically, historically, what they have up front. They do both, right? They do both. Why can't we do both? I just have never understood that.
And USC, they did it. They converted, but they had three wides. They had three wides. They had everybody spread out. You got guys that are 6'5", and they have the threat, so then – we couldn't, you know, we have five or six guys in the box against that formation. That makes sense that you could do that.
Think about this. When you watch any NFL game, okay?
Amen.
These are guys that study 12 months a year. That's when it's fourth and a half a yard, what do? All of a sudden they're lined up. Then they run up under center, take the snap, and run a sneak or hand the ball off.
Why do they do that?
Because it makes sense. If you got a half a yard, you start a yard away. You start closer. You don't have to run 5 yards.
Jesus. I mean, we weren't very good in science class, but that one we
that one you can figure out.
We can figure that.
That's arithmetic, Tari.
Okay. That is the truth.
All right. So the Badgers have played what is kind of a unique situation of their schedules to this point. They've played two teams that they were expected to win handily and two teams that they were big underdogs against. Now, this upcoming week starts the bulk of their Big Ten season. Obviously, USC part of the Big Ten now, but they're a new addition to the Big Ten. So they're playing against Purdue, who fired their offensive coordinator, Graham Harrell. Before we get to break, real quick, you can't be the Badgers and go lose to a team that just fired their coordinator, right?
Well, I mean, no. I mean, but you don't. You focus on yourselves. You know, you focus on what they did in that second half. You got to focus on getting those linebackers, you know, to understand assignments and where they need to be on the field, for God's sakes. I mean, they got gap responsibility. Like, that's what you focus on. I mean, no, who cares? Purdue, Schmurdue. I mean, that is a team that's coming into Camp Randall. We got to focus on ourselves. It's a game we should win, and we need it bad right now.
Coach, did you ever make a coaching change in your tree during a season?
No, not that I remember.
Not that you remember. Okay, no. That's what I thought I needed to make sure. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little
Probably came close once.
Any thoughts, comments, concerns on that one?
No comment. No.
All right.
That was go to break.
This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. Badgers ranked 13th in the Big Ten on a recent power ranking of the Big Ten. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Rose Bowl champions Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and former UW Athletic Director Barry Alvarez, and we are talking. We're letting it out a little bit. This is the most fired up I've seen this table about a game. The second the headsets come off, we're yelling. We're fired up about a loss to USC. What makes this any different?
Well, because we're used to beating the former Pac-12 team's ass, to be honest with you.
And you're up at halftime, double digits.
Yeah, that's why we're fired up, because, you know, Coach Alvarez, I mean, he basically owned the Pac-12 and Rose Bowl victories and so on and so forth. I mean, that, you know,
because we have a lot of pride in this football team and this university, and we saw that we could have walked off that field and And against Alabama, we had a chance. We had a chance to win that game. And when it doesn't happen, it upsets us. And so we're looking at ways, how can we make sure we walk off that field as a winner? You know, because we feel like we're good enough to win. We've built a program here. We've got tradition. These kids they've recruited good players.
You know, I mean, G-Man, I mean, there's a reason that Coach made Madison his home, you know, and it has obviously the loyalty, the affection for the university, the athletic department, and the football program. There's a reason Tarik and I came back here after we retired from the NFL now for over two decades and been involved with the program and put time and effort with, I mean, you name it, we've been there. So, yeah, we get fired up about stuff. You know, we like wins here.
And I know Coach Fickell's pissed off, and he should be, and those guys, you know, this should hurt. But, you know, the thing, and I know they compete every day. They do all these things to help the kids, but we're really undisciplined out there, and we don't have an identity. And so we need to hang our hat on something. We need to find it, and we need to just go back to, what, like Derek said, worry about ourselves. Don't worry about Purdue, and just do the little things right, and then establish whatever that is of who we are. Let's go do it this weekend. And
Coach, I mean, you know, it's not like we were never, you know, our backs were never up against the wall, right? You know, what did you?
A lot of times.
I mean, if you're in this situation, you're Coach Fickell right now, today, what are you doing?
Well, I'd rally the troops, and I everything focused on Purdue. You got to win this Purdue game, and you go back through and you tear everything apart, and you see what you did well, and you see what you have to improve on, because everybody else is watching the same film. And they're going to come after your mistakes. We have some mistakes, whether it's being sound in some areas, correcting that. If you have a couple weaknesses in personnel, you correct that. But you've got to correct those things because the opponent you're going to play is going after them.
So I would interpret that as tomorrow being Tuesday. We would have Sundays, of course, come in the facilities, treatment. We'd shake out room, watch film, all that stuff, and then, of course, scouting the next week's opponent. And Monday was our day off. So tomorrow I would anticipate that we'd have a goal line and short yardage scrimmage.
Not a scrimmage.
Okay.
Not bring him to the ground.
Okay. All right.
But a high thud.
A high thud.
Thud.
What does that mean?
That means that the defense.
We're getting after it.
It's live in the line.
He doesn't want anybody on the ground.
I don't want anybody on the ground. The back doesn't go on the ground. But you better strike him with your chest, and you better have him wrapped up.
This crowd needs to stop the run. They need to stop the run. They need to keep it. And it's got to go in practice. The coach is going to emphasize that. And we're going to figure out a way to stop the run. We can't have linebackers running up into the D-line. The D-line played well. But they're running up. They're not making tackles. They're not scraping and doing what they're supposed to be doing. So they need to figure out how to stop the run, and then we'll go from there.
But Derek, that was every week we did that.
True.
It's yeah. not just because of this game. That's how we practiced.
No, I know.
Tuesdays and Wednesdays, we're going to have 20 minutes both days, good against good. And it's live in the line for 20 minutes.
There might have been a few times when the clock got rewind a little bit.
Well, if we weren't doing it well, we'd start the periods over again.
Yeah, periods
right.
would get – yeah. I heard Coach Saban talk about that because Deion started the whole practice over. And they asked Saban. He goes, no, when things weren't – you know, either the offense was sluggish and defense was, you know, getting gashed – I'd take periods back, which is what Coach Alvarez did, but I never started the whole practice over. And, you know, he goes, but I don't blame Coach Sanders. I mean, if it was going that bad, you started
over.
You got
to get your players' attention.
That's right.
You got to get their attention.
How did you know that you had their attention?
They did what I told them. they responded. And then the leaders would take – you had to have leadership in the locker room. Your leaders – are the guys in the locker room. It's not some coach in there coming in there and telling them what to do. it's the older leadership telling everybody, hey, we've got to pick things up, or we've got to get things squared away here. We got some problems, and that's where the strength of a good team is.
Oh, it's a trickle down effect, absolutely, from coach, his staff, to the captains, the leaders, senior leadership, trickle down to the young guys, and then those that didn't, you know, weren't on board, you know, they were out the door.
And I think more times than not, we had more of a fiery practice, and he didn't have to. He didn't worry about someone, you know, us, hurt, you know, beating each other up.
Very competitive.
Remember McIntosh when he first started coming up? It was a long team, but it started becoming almost live, right? And it gets a little feisty, and he and I got in a big fight, and you know, he picked me up and like body slammed me, and I was like, you know, had my foot in his helmet. It was chaos, and then
the face mask came off.
We had to cool it down and like dial it back a little bit. I think he might have canceled practice at that point, but he got what he wanted out of us. You know what I mean? And that was everybody was fired up.
Best was the Rose Bowl. I mean, we're in half pack, and we had some. You know, Bill Callahan, who today is one of the best offensive line coaches in the National Football League, and you know, we had some fiery guys on the other side. Coach Dan McCarney, and you know, we had Carlos Fowler, and I think Joe Rudolph got into it a little bit.
Well, they tackled Bevel, the quarterback.
They tackled Bevel,
yeah.
And Callie's yelling at Rudy to cut Fowler. We have, by the way, it's half pack, so he's in shorts, and we're getting ready for the Rose Bowl game.
Tackles the starting quarterback on a Tuesday.
So Tarek and I, as young freshmen, are just looking at all this and going, "Holy, this is legit! Like this is, we're getting ready." I don't know how to explain the controlled intensity, but still create the team. You know, that is
– yeah, because you could have that conflict and still at the end of the day
and
walk
away. It all came down to coach, and he was pissed after that. And I'm sure he let both Mac and Callie know that, and probably JP too. I mean, you have to, as the head coach, control all of that.
Yeah. Coach, when there was fighting on the sideline, like Tarek was talking about.
It's not on the sideline.
On the practice field. How did you – sorry, I didn't mean to throw you under the – you're good.
He plays disc golf.
You got to give me some respect, man. It's ultimate frisbee. It's ultimate frisbee, Derek. When there's fighting at practice, do you take that as a good sign or a bad sign? How do you handle that?
Depends on who's fighting.
All right.
That's the truth.
Yeah, so when Tarek's ripping off face masks with his feet.
Yeah, he might find somebody that's weaker than him and throw him around. That's what he'd search out, somebody like that.
Hey, I admit it.
Is that who McIntosh is? Weaker than him?
No. He was testing Mac. Flipped him right. Mac's a state champ wrestler.
Yeah.
Threw him right to his back. That was it. There was no more fighting in that group. You know what? You're going to have some fights because guys go at it and mix it up. Sometimes you just let them fight. They get tired.
Yeah.
They get tired. They don't want to fight. What the hell are you going to do? You got helmets on.
I go to the body.
All body blows.
Yeah, I'm not hitting anybody in the head.
No.
But, Coach, I think you'd say, like, coaches don't like to waste their time.
That's right.
And fights
Hurry
waste
up.
Time.
Oh, yeah.
Hurry up. You got 5-minute periods. We just wasted two snaps.
You have to fight with a purpose. Like, it has to be – there has to be a reason you're standing up for yourself. This is the prison part of football, where you're in there and you stand up for yourself and what you got. And if the coach feels like you're doing – you're standing up for yourself, it's not just – you can't – if you're fighting everybody, your ass
you can't do that.
Get the hell out of here.
No, you won't be around long.
And NFL coaches more than anyone, when you have these NFL – intra-squad scrimmages that they go to different, you know, clubs. That's the first thing they're talking about is because they're losing time. That's all they're looking at is their clock. Is they're losing repetitions.
Losing reps.
Reps.
That's right.
All right. Well, this is the Great Dane Huddle. If you want, you should hang out at the Great Dane. Get more for your pour. The Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company is Madison's original brewing award-winning craft beers for 30 years. And now every Monday through Thursday, from 3 until 6 p.m., enjoy a 20-ounce pint of their flagship beers for only $3 from the Crop Circle Wheat Good Dog IPA to the Old Glory APA. Head to one of their locations in Fitchburg, Hilldale, Eastside, or join us right now at downtown. Enjoy bigger and better happy hour and check out their Oktoberfest. They've got a Wisconsin pretzel board, the brats and mash, which I hear is absolutely fantastic. And, of course, they have their Oktoberfest here ready to go. And, Derek, you were offered a Oktoberfest. You're wearing shorts and linens.
Well, I'm wearing linen shorts and,
sorry.
And a short sleeve. Yeah, Tommy Bahama silk shirt.
Flex.
G-Man, you're right on it tonight.
I'm coming in hot. You got it. But, like, you get to enjoy an Oktoberfest in shorts and a T-shirt. It's fantastic. Come check it out. Everything they've got going on down here at the Great Dane. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. ESPN, the Wisconsin On Demand app, anywhere you get your podcasts. If you missed any of the show, you can go back there. 844-770-3776. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Saleh, Derek Engler, and the former AD of Wisconsin, Barry Alvarez. All right, I want to just talk a little bit here about the Purdue game. Purdue fired their offensive coordinator, Graham Harrell, and I know we're talking, you got to focus on what's in front of you. You got to be the Badgers. You got to do the thing. In that same poll where the Packers or the Badgers were ranked 13th in the Big Ten, Purdue finished last. Things are not looking good in South Bend. Is that South Bend or is that where?
No
they're Lafayette, Indiana. Yep. I'm all over the place, man. You guys,
you're
on your
phones.
Too many
brownies this weekend, huh?
Too many brownies. Yeah, I was disc golfing. I was at a disc golf resort.
Oh, my God.
No brownies for me, thank you very much. But they didn't have towels at something that they called a resort, which was kind of an interesting choice. You know,
that's a challenge.
No one showered for the 2.5 days we were there.
What?
Oh my!
Well, you hippies like
good
that, right?
God,
we couldn't.
Gee,
no one told us to bring towels, and so we just had no towels.
You just, what do you guys just like shower in patchouli and, you know, rub it on your armpits? And
pretty much. Well, a couple guys jumped in the lake, but I don't think that helped. I think that might have hurt the situation.
Good Lord.
Anyway, the Badgers are playing Purdue, and it's got to be a get-right game going in having this situation. When you played teams in your time, Coach, that were supposed to be much worse than you, how did you keep the intensity up, and how did you get the guys ready to go and dominate?
It's always about your team. It's never about the team that you're playing. You give scouting reports on what they do and tendencies and all that in preparation for your offense and defense. But it's about you taking care of your business. We made enough mistakes last week in the game. You go back and try to correct those mistakes and improve on how you're playing. And that's the important part of the season. As the season goes along, you just can't be the same. You either get better or you get worse. You never stay the same. And so you want to make sure that you improve.
So, and Tarek, you can comment on this too. So, Coach, I would, you know, against the teams that, you know, we should be, right? And Coach was spot on. That's, he focused on us. But I will tell you, when it's an Ohio State, it's a Penn State, it's a Michigan – week, there was a little added, I don't know, we'll find something. Coach will find.
What I try to do, Derek, every every game, I try to find some advantage that we have. I don't know what it is. Sometimes I lie. Sometimes I'd make them up. It doesn't make any difference. I'm going to find an advantage that we have over our opponent, and I'm going to stress that during the week. But the first thing we're going to do is correct the mistakes we had from the previous week, and as we build our game plan, what we have to do to be successful. But I always want our guys going in with confidence, knowing we're going to win this game. I don't care who we were playing or how many.
Yeah, points. And it went from, Tark, you know this, it went from, you know, Tuesday practice to, I mean, just getting, you know, we're getting after it. You know, they're coaching us up, but they're coaching us hard. You know, and then slowly as we get closer, Thursday, we're thinking, okay, now we're, you know, because we're paying attention. You know, because Tuesday, hey, we're effing up here or there. We got to do this. We got to fix this. We got to do that. By Thursday, you guys have prepared well. You know, I mean, that was the whole week. I mean, it went in right into Friday, and you're ready. And then Coach would always throw something on there. You know, whatever it might be.
If you're not playing at your best, you'll get beat. And that's essentially, you know, that's for, like, we have to play at our best in order to beat this team, and we got to get there. I mean, you can't take your foot off the pedal, and you got to practice every day, and you got to, we would have all, you know, goals and all sorts of things that we wanted to achieve, you know, whether it's throughout the season or just in that game, and we better be playing at our best, and if we do, we could beat them.
And Coach, wouldn't you say that I'm speculating, but probably no, in your staff meetings every day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you had a plan for each day to make sure we were progressing in that game plan that week.
Yeah, well, that's why you're watching film of the previous day practice and whether guys are following through. And that's why I went to both sides of the ball. I wanted to see whether I felt the team was into it, into the practice, or just going through the motions. And you know, then I would tell our coaches, this is what I think. This is what I think we need to do. This is what we need to focus on. We need to pick it up here.
We were talking about that off the air. You know, a lot of times, you know, Coach, obviously being a defensive guy, you know, from Notre Dame and running their defense to a national championship and being hired here at the University of Wisconsin, I was shocked. I remember just the amount of time and I could see. Now, when Coach was facing the defense, there are guys, you know, that would, quote, go through the motions. As soon as he flipped his back and was watching us, all of a sudden all dials were up. And that was important. I mean, that was really important just because we knew he didn't have to say anything. He just turned around, arms folded, glasses on, and watched us. And we knew we better be on point here.
So the Badgers are 14-point favorites coming into this one, which is two touchdowns should be a good smacking. Now, no history of changing coordinators, but there's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of scaredness. Are you at the point after these two back-to-back losses against some of the best teams where you understand the pressure, the heat that our offensive and defensive coordinators are feeling right now?
Well, you shouldn't be changing coaches or even having that conversation.
No,
I think we put that to bed last week. Not that
two weeks ago to Rutledge's point.
Yeah,
but no heat.
It's about getting better every week right now.
I mean, we're a third through the season. You know, you got Purdue. You got the next three, I think, opponents are all games that we can win.
We will be favored in these games.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to play well to win them.
Yeah, correct.
These guys are on scholarship too.
Yeah.
And they're going to show up, and they'll be ready to play. You got a new coach. You got a staff fighting for their jobs to hopefully be held on. They'll pull out everything they have. So it'll be a tough game.
You go 5-5-2 with momentum. into, and I hate to do this, but with Penn State for homecoming coming in, and Penn State's, in my opinion, a better football team than USC, that is going to – that having that momentum, having that confidence going into that game, and then pulling out something that I think we can do. I totally think we can do it at home. I think we could have done it against, like Coach said earlier, without the miscues against Alabama. And we just watched Bama, Georgia.
Yeah.
You know,
this game should tell you that the last game that they have a chance to beat, you know, a lot of teams on the schedule.
Yeah.
So
no
they
question.
Just got to make them believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
you got to quit making mistakes. Got to quit beating yourself. Because you can line up with the big boys and you can compete with
the
big boys, but you can't make most stupid mistakes. That hurt you.
All right, it's time to gain momentum. I'm fired up. I think the Badgers are going to win against Purdue. This has been the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.